Welcome back after the ads. As I said beforehand, I'm going to have Gary Colbert, and he's going to talk a little bit about his book, and he's going to talk about mindfulness. So I hopefully have him on the phone. Gary, can you hear me?
I can, Shane. Yes, thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So
good to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. No problem. As my team, my show was about mindfulness. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit about who you are?
I will. Yeah, thank you very much. Gary Colbert is my name. At this point, I guess I work Gary Colbert Performance Coaching. I work with clients everywhere, I suppose, from those in the context of working on mental health right to elite athletes performing at the highest level. But really, I suppose, the thread that runs through all of my work is, psychology, coaching psychology and mindfulness, really.
Fantastic.
So that's what I do, yeah.
Yeah, so you obviously would know what it's like to live a mindful life and stay present as much as you possibly can.
Well, yeah, as much as I possibly can being the key term, I think.
Yeah, well...
Living a mindfulness life, always, definitely not, but trying, definitely, yes.
Yeah, it's only few people, like I presume you know Eckhart Tolle, you know, I don't know if you've listened to Eckhart Tolle, and he claims that he lives his life 100% in the present.
Yeah, I've listened to a lot of Eckhart Tolle over the years.
I'm
fascinated by his what he calls in terms as the pain body.
Yes.
I suppose that myself, I probably the term body of memory, maybe that we all tend to fall back into, or that we tend to, you know, unconsciously even fall into maybe a body of memory that will carry along with us. And Eckhart Tolle describes maybe this as the pain body. I've come across Eckhart Tolle a lot.
So I must admit he's definitely someone that I kind of would look up to as far as being mindfulness and staying in the present as much as you can. And if nobody's ever listened to him, he's actually very good. He's quite humorous, you know, in how he talks about things and stuff like that. So anyway, we're not here to talk about Eckhart Tolle. You know, you were mentioning, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on is that I believe you're taking the adventurous step into writing a book.
I am. Indeed, that is, I think, adventurous, more like the adventure of climbing a really high mountain, I think.
Yeah. It's brave to write something, you know, and actually put it out there, because once you publish it, that's it, you know?
For sure. Yeah. For me, Shane, I think the skeleton is in place. You know, the name of it, that I can visualise, for want of a better expression, if it were a human being, a skeleton is in place, all the parts and limbs I visualise, I know exactly what I'm writing about, but with two small kids and, you know, work and all the different things that come with it, it's more just the flesh and bone, putting everything on it that will beef up all the different parts is the part for me at the moment, actually.
Yeah. And do you tell us a little bit about what your book is, what your hope, well, I mean, as you said, you have the meat and bone of the books, like, so you do know what it's going to be about anyhow at this stage.
Yeah, I do, for sure. I have a name and the theme and everything else, and the name of the book is called Living Beneath the Noise. And I guess for me, look, it's not autobiographical or anything like that, or my own story. I mean, the prologue says a little bit about myself and my own journey, but I suppose I have arrived to writing the book. I have arrived through a lot of different experiences myself. So for me, Shane, my own story, I suppose, was I worked in the corporate world I was in property management, property letting, and then, you know, in Ireland, the property industry collapsed and my business collapsed with it. And I struggled, went through a lot of mental health difficulties, and also a lot of things broke down for me as well. My engagement at the time, I lost everything I had, really. I was at 35, I'm 47 now, so that's 11 years ago. So that's what really brought me into the need for self-care, you know, was an episode like that. And then I then went from there into yoga. I played a lot of rugby over the years, so in the context of yoga, in a physical context, I really loved it because it healed me, began to bring a lot of flexibility to me physically. It was the need for self-care, and then it was the need for a bit of healing. And I went from there then, from a yoga instructor and classes, I went as a yoga therapist, and I qualified with Yoga Therapy Ireland. I worked for 5 or 6 years as a yoga therapist, one-to-one in my studio locally in Middleton and Cork. And from there then, when I was working with when I was working with clients one-to-one, I was working in a physical context, but really the both of us knew that there was a lot of psychology going on, a lot of barriers that, you know, my clients were finding it difficult to break through. So then I felt I needed authentically to educate myself in the psychology of things. So I went into UCC 3 years ago to do my master's in coaching psychology. And so I guess that's really what's brought me towards capturing a lot of my client work I've done with clients, I guess things that I've learned myself. And I think it revolves a lot around the ability to connect to ourselves beneath the noise. Because as we all know, there's a lot of noise, a lot of distraction, at a high pace of life coming more and more with technology and different things like that, you know.
Yeah, well done. It's something that definitely resonates with me, you know. Especially the whole mobile phones and the whole social media world of it is a huge amount of noise compared to, you know, you and I would be close enough in age, like, and we were brought up in a world where there was no mobile phones and no social media, you know. So, you know, that it definitely has a huge aspect on it. And there's the noise of life as well, like, you know, and I suppose you having worked in a fast-paced kind of corporate type of world, you know, there's even extra noise again on that level, you know.
Yeah, and I was lucky. I was lucky that, as my as I describe it, as my flame began to flicker at 35, I was under immense pressure, and I was staring down the barrel of a gun, really, struggling. And I was lucky. I was lucky that I maybe, as you alluded to there, maybe when I was younger, and we played in nature a lot, and we were pre-digital late. Maybe as you say, maybe I had a kind of an innate kind of a instinctive connection. That I was, I'd moved away a lot from that connection.
Yeah. I suppose my story would be kind of a little bit similar insofar as I went back to college when I was 40 to study psychotherapy, and, you know, I have a university degree now. So, you know, when I realised my life wasn't perfect, or not that I'm saying my life is perfect now, but it's definitely far better than it was back then. And just went back to college and worked full time. So, you know, I hats off to anybody who changes life and changes career, because in my opinion that's one of the things that people struggle with, you know, and we're not in a fixed lane in life ever, you know. We can literally change and adapt anytime we want, you know.
For sure, you know, and sometimes I wonder at 35, when the rug was pulled out completely from under me, I look back now and say, you know, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. But I sympathise a lot with people that are maybe in a comfortable situation. They work in a certain job with a certain wage, and they may not be fulfilled completely by what they're doing. But, you know, it is in some ways much more difficult to move from that, you know, and to change your life when you're within certain luxuries and trappings, you know. In some ways, I was very lucky, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as I said, and I said on the show earlier on, like, that there are no mistakes in life. It's what do we learn from it, you know. If we can look back on things that we actually see, and not that I'm saying your life when it crumbled was a mistake, but sometimes, well, I believe things happen to us in our lives for a reason, and it's the trick is to actually figure out what that reason is, and actually go with it, like, and be brave enough to literally go with it. Like, I mean, to go from, you know, for you, like, where you went from a busy property management and busy corporate world to into yoga, that for a lot of people that would go, whoa, that's a big step. And even for me to go from, you know, working in supermarkets and running supermarkets to psychotherapy is another big shift in life, you know what I mean? But it's just to be brave enough to actually see what you're meant to do in life and actually go for it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It was a big move, you know. I found actually when I moved away from the corporate world, or when I was sort of confronted with the choice of moving away, and also I played rugby in the All Ireland League around the country for 25 years on. So like that, it was very results oriented, results driven, confrontational, physical, you know. So it was very much about getting results, get the end line result. And when you move over into a much slower way of, you know, therapy and yoga therapy, it's very the results are not in any way immediate, really, and they're very much under the surface. It was a massive, adaptation for me. I had to adapt a lot to that, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, just to, like, I, as I say, you must be so proud of yourself, like, of taking that step. It's such a massive step, like, to take away from that and to step into a world where it's all about you. You know what I mean? Like, as I say to a lot of my clients, the most important word I think in the dictionary is to be selfish. And it's a word that we all struggle with, you know, and you were selfish when you moved into yoga therapy and you moved into helping people with coaching and stuff like that. Like, because, you know, it's, and also because you hadn't lived the life that you had lived, you wouldn't be as good in your job as you are now, you know?
I'm lucky again because I suppose I stumbled upon something that I love and I'm passionate about it and I love learning. But when you say I suppose you know when you lose what you have and you go through a lot of personal turmoil and turbulence, it does definitely for me anyway. Look, it has its own effects. It dents the confidence, affects self-esteem, and you know when you say to me now, you know I should be very proud of myself. In some ways maybe, but I'm still on the road. I'm still on my healing journey. I'm still on my road towards becoming a bit more whole. You know what I mean?
Look, none of us are finished. I'm not finished on my journey. You know, I'm 51 years of age now, and you know I'm still going to be journeying through life and still changing and evolving. And I think that's some area that a lot of people get stuck in. That they get stuck in that rut, as you said, that comfortable place where they think they're comfortable in their job and they're comfortable in their lives, and without realizing that we can change and evolve. And you know, I'm a psychotherapist in my 50s. You know, who's going to say what I'll be in my 60s? You know, and same with yourself. You know what you're doing at the moment, and I'm sure writing this book for you now isn't just, you know, writing the book to actually help people. It's actually helping and changing and evolving you. You know,
100%. Yeah, 100%. I suppose my difficulty is to just draw a line somewhere and say, right, come on, this is the subject. This is the end of the book, because I suppose the book there'll always be something else to add in the era.
I suppose it's when you catch that that bug of actually writing. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the end where you have the end on it, it might not necessarily be the end. Like, you can have chapter two, and you know, you can have volume 1, 2, 3, and 4. You can have as many volumes as you want, you know.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I went back that time, I actually was seeing a counsellor, you know, going through some difficulties, and I'd done an okay leaving cert, my GCSEs or whatever they are, and you know, my leaving cert, and I didn't have a degree. So when I was given a link by this counsellor I was working with, funnily enough, how I ended up back in UCC was he sent me a link, and I said, look, that's a master's, you know. And he said, look, Gary, I know you well, we've done a lot of work together, I think this would really suit you. And then I interviewed to go into UCC, and they accepted me in my life experience and different things that happened that I've been through. And then through that process, which was very difficult, I actually learned how to study, how to research, you know, how to research properly academically. And that's actually what helped me to kick on to have the confidence to write a book. But it certainly wasn't, my ability to write certainly wasn't there in my late teens, anyway, my early 20s.
Yeah. And your book that when are you hoping to release this book? Are we going to see it before Christmas?
Oh, I'm hoping that it will be done before Christmas.
No, you're not hoping. It's going to happen.
Yeah, along the way anyway.
So we're looking forward to having a Christmas release of this book.
Yeah. Pressure's on.
Look, you know, I mean, as you said, like, you're juggling, a business, you're juggling two children, you're juggling a wife, and you're juggling a life as well, like, you know, and like, you were juggling all those things before you introduced a book into that world as well, like, you know. So, you know, I do understand that the time pressures and the pressures of life, and, you know, certain things you might say to yourself, right, I'm going to get up 2 hours early in the morning and I'm going to do my book, and then suddenly other things pop into that time frame and stuff like that. So, you know, unfortunately, because the book is something that's on the computer, it does probably slip down along the pecking orders a few times, you know.
Exactly. Welcome to my world. How's it going?
Oh, look, I mean, it's the same as me, like, you know, juggling psychotherapy, juggling running the Cancer Support Centre here in Youghal, got the radio station, do workshops and do a few other bits and pieces and have a life as well. Like, so, I mean, you know, I like yourself, I would imagine, from what I'm hearing in your voice. When you love what you do, it's easy.
Yeah, and it'll be done, you know, and that's probably the way I approach everything, really, I suppose. Look, once you put it into once you visualize it and you decide, it's inevitable, then it'll be done. But, you know, that's the way it is.
Yeah. And if people want to get in contact with you, Gary, how would they find you?
Find me on my website, Gary Colbert Coaching.
Right.
Contact me through my website. Gary Colbert 101@gmail.com.
Okay, great. And if you were to give a message to people out there, even around mindfulness and about staying in the present and changing your life, what would the message you'd give to people?
Oh, it would be, mindfulness is, you know, obviously by definition it's a state of mind, of connection, and it's you know, the better quality of state of mind. But there's a lot of mindfulness running around. I was in a restaurant earlier, and on the menu in the restaurant there was a mindfulness refreshment, which was Coca-Cola or Fanta or something like that. So, like, for me, you know, whenever, everything is mindfulness, really.
Yes.
I love what I do. When I'm coaching, I'm in a deep state of mindfulness. When I'm with my kids, you know, when I'm connected with them, I'm mindfully connected. You know, it can get a bit faddy, it can get a bit cliched, but really, going for a walk, if we can just walk a little mindfully and just be more aware of what's around us all the time. You know, it's a thing now that's becoming very westernized and almost commercialized a little bit. It's just connecting
with your inner self, you know.
Absolutely.
And actually, the word mindfulness, Eckhart Tolle says himself that it's actually the wrong translation from where it came from, Buddhism, because mindfulness actually would put people in the vision that their actually mind is full. You know, so he actually isn't comfortable with the word mindfulness. So he just says minding your mind, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose anything that's external as well, which I would determine as point B. I mean, if we're connected to point A, which is within ourselves, anything that's at point B, that's a mirror which we can connect mindfully as well, you know. So it's just all about connecting with ourselves.
Yeah.
We can connect very deep. Like when I played yoga or when I played rugby, for example, every game I played, I was deep in almost a meditative state, you know. So yeah, that's mindfulness, inward or outward, whichever.
So great talking to you, Gary. I'm looking forward to at some stage seeing your book, Living Beneath the Noise. Looking forward to seeing it released at some stage, whether it's this year or the start of next year. You know, you work at your own pace and don't put yourself under any pressure, and looking forward to connecting with you again maybe in the future.
Brilliant, I'd love it, Shane.
Thank you. No problem. Okay, thanks, Gary. Talk to you soon. All right, bye.